This is a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, 7:06 Friday, the 26th of August. And of course, you're listening to The Morning Run with Philip C in his dapper black and orange batik shirt. And I'm Wong Shao Ning. Now, in about 30 minutes, we'll be speaking to Dr. Michael Montesano, coordinator of the Thailand Studies Program at ISIS Yusof Ishak Institute, on the suspension of their prime minister. But let's recap how global markets closed yesterday.
A very nice shade of green across the board. The US markets were all up. The Dow was up 1%. S&P 500 up 1.4%. NASDAQ up 1.7%. All in anticipation of Jackson Hole in Wyoming.
Yes, I think that's the big meeting,
the
right?
The big meeting it's, taking place there.
I do believe Jerome Powell will be giving his keynote message at 10 a.m. New York time. So I think a lot of economists will be following that speech super closely.
Oh, I think that could trigger a lot of things. So let's see what happens on Monday. But Asian markets also closed all up. The Nikkei was up 0.6%, Hang Seng up 3.6%, Shanghai Composite up 1%, Singapore's STA up 0.4%, and also back home, FBM KLCA up very nicely 1.9%, but still under 1,500.
Which is why ADRs in US for China stocks actually apparently rallied quite significantly on the back of this news, because China is stepping up its stimulus efforts. But nonetheless, we are going to find out where global markets are heading. We have on the line with us Tim Mahalan, president of TJM Limited. Good morning, Tim. I'm sure you're tired about being asked about Jackson Hole, but we have to ask you nonetheless. What are your expectations from this meeting? Because what I did note this morning is one of the central bankers have basically said that the Fed might actually have to raise rates beyond 4%. What do you think?
Well, I mean, we don't really know, but I think that 3.5-4% does not sound unreasonable, especially where inflation looks like it's going to be settling. I think the one thing that they said that the markets seemed to ignore, they said, Esther George, actually, that the Fed wants financial conditions to tighten. And that's not what's been happening. And I think the reason is because the market doesn't really believe in inflation. They still believe this transitory nonsense. And even in the face of $300 to $500 billion more in giveaway money, that we're spending. So I think the market's underestimating it, and it could be underestimating the Fed. However, I will say that in September, we're going to start to see some balance sheet runoff, which we have not seen yet. Even though they said they were going to stop buying, the balance sheet has not shrunk yet. So when that quantitative tightening starts, that is when I think we're going to start to see some reality in the market. But that being said, I think the Fed is in a credibility point right now where they have to raise. And I think there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And they're not looking at easing as the market is.
Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting point, because I was also listening to the Esther George interview. She talked about the balance sheet also being a tool that they can use, right? But if you look at actually the fundamental economic activity in the United States, it did contract for the second straight month, while the property market is also in a slump. So really, is the U.S. economy in danger of veering into recession territory?
Well, here's where I think, and I think the Fed, although there are some bright people on there, I really don't think they're any better than anyone in trading in the market and what they're doing. And why will I say that? Because everybody thinks interest rates a tool. Interest rates not really a tool. Interest rates a tool if you want to cause a recession in a leveraged environment. And we're in a leveraged global environment. I'm sorry, we're way more leveraged than we were during the financial crisis. Maybe 2.5 times more leveraged. We're over 300 to 1. So they want to raise interest rates in a leveraged environment. Be my guest. You're going to cause a slowdown. If you think that's going to cure inflation, maybe it will. However, what the real ill is, and I do think this is another point, the balance sheet reduction, the balance sheet expansion caused asset inflation. 90% of the country does not own assets. So you've actually exacerbated this income inequality by raising asset prices, pushing down on labor, pushing down on volatility for the last 12 years. And now you're seeing a point where if they want to really cure this thing, you're going to have to see financial assets correct. And then you might not have to take it out of the real economy. So my guess is that I'm hopefully that someone's going to realize that this balance sheet needs to be cut by about $4 trillion back to where it was pandemic.
How can you envision how that tapering will take place then?
Well, they're going to do the mortgages are the real tough part, because the mortgages don't roll off. Okay, and the mortgages actually with rates going up, the duration's actually extended, so you're not seeing the prepayments. So they're going to have to sell mortgages outright if they're serious, and haven't seen that yet. And the other, they're just going to reinvest as maturing treasuries come due, they'll reinvest less. Whereas what they should be doing is probably issuing more in the long end of the market to help steepen it. But, you know, that's a whole other issue. But they're going to let the treasuries run off, which you can do easily. The mortgages, which they bought, what did they buy, $30 billion a month, $20 billion a month? $20 billion a month or whatnot for, 2 years almost. And they got all these mortgage back holdings, and they're not going to roll off. They have to sell them. So I want to see, but you're going to start seeing that in September. Up until now, there's some quirks in settlements. So they had like 3 months to settle mortgage-backed purchases or more. That's why you really haven't seen the runoff yet for some of these quirks that have been coming up. Now, those are all going to be gone, and you're going to start to see some real reduction in the balance sheet. My guess, as I think we look at the correlation with the balance sheet expansion and asset price inflation, is pretty darn convincing to me. So I say when they start taking liquidity out of this market, I think you're going to see it in the financial market. So I'm still holding on to that. I haven't really seen anyone from the Fed. Maybe they're afraid to say it, but the Fed is not going to be a friend of financial markets.
So do you think then where we are in terms of where the indices are, that we will probably see a lot more downside, especially in the S&P 500?
Yeah, I think that, excuse me, swallowed some water the wrong way. Anyway, Ray Dalio believes because of that, we're going to see 25% more. I think you're going to see the market pull back. I think to that probably 3,200 first in the S&P 500, which is, 4,200 right now? But I do think you're going to see the pullback to the lows of March of 20 and test of those lows. So that's maybe 50% more I think you could see. I think you could see that, and I don't think it's not natural, by the way, because I think people haven't really appreciated or realized what we've done in 2 years. In fact, more money came in the market in the past 2 years than it did in the whole past 19 years combined before that. So anyway, I think what you're going to see here, and we're going to find out more tomorrow, but people look for hawkish tone, and I think they're going to get it, but I think they're underestimating the Fed's resolve, and I don't think they fully understand and appreciate what it's going to mean when liquidity comes out via balance sheet shrinkage.
Okay, so where can we hide then? Tim, where, if markets are going to come down, what is the asset class that we should actually seek refuge in?
Well, I tell you where I don't think it is going to be in growth, in these growth stocks.
Okay, so NASDAQ is out then, right? Because that's really all where growth is centered.
Yeah, and they call it growth, but look at NVIDIA and look at some of the semis right now. And I think I'm glad you asked me that. Okay, because I'm following the playbook from 2000. That was a bubble with insanely valued companies and whatnot, and they broke. And then the NASDAQ, by the way, rallied two-thirds back in 2000 before it really broke. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what happened after 2000 and we got that first shock? In 2001, you saw CapEx reduction, widespread. And I think that's what the semis are telling you right now. There's orders are being canceled, and I think capital expenditures that have been boosting a lot of these great technology names, some of them, are going to come down. And when they reduce CapEx expenditures, these companies are going to have to reduce sales. And when they reduce sales, they're earning. In other words, earnings estimates, I think, are still way too high.
Okay. I think, markets seem to be at crossroads at this current moment. Then what is going to drive market? Is it pretty much after the Jackson Hole announcement, we're just going to see investors just, reduce their equity holding, or are they pretty much cashed up already now though, Tim?
No, they think it's priced in. They think it's all priced in. And I think they're going to, again, it's been so talked about than the expectation that I do think the market's going to try and hang in here. Although you did reach earlier in the week a very, very important, or last week was it, when you hit the 200-day moving average of around 4320 in the S&P, which is also a very nice downtrend line. So I think that's going to hold, and I want to lean against that. So I think the market's going to oscillate a little. But true to my analog from 2000, and also any bubble, by the way, you can go back to 2008, you can go to 2000, you can go to 1937, and you'll see this. You see the initial break, you see the initial rally, then the secondary rally. Whew, glad we did that. Now let's get back to making money because we were so smart in the first place, right? And then you see the fundamentals kick in, which CapEx could be one of those. And then you see the third leg down, the wave three down in the market. And then that lasts for 2 years, okay? That bear market lasted for 2 years.
All right.
So
thank-
that's all I'm saying.
Okay. Thank you very much for your time. That was Tim Mahalan, president of TJM Limited, warning that there's some downside to the market and hasn't been priced in completely in terms of what the Fed will do. But very quickly, we also got news coming out of Dell. Dell Technology shares fell 8% in late trading after releasing pessimistic remarks about the business environment for the second half of the year, outweighing actually what were pretty decent quarterly results.
Now, its leadership said Dell observed more cautious customer behavior as the quarter progressed, and the company is operating in an increasingly challenging environment. Now, revenue climbed 9% year-on-year to about $25.4 billion. This is in line with estimates, but adjusted earnings per share came in at $1.68, which was above analyst expectations of $1.64.
And very quickly, Grab results are out. We'll talk about that later on at 9 a.m. But Gap actually withdrew its financial outlook for the year after it swung to a net loss in the fiscal second quarter. Old Navy is struggling. Guess what? Banana Republic, however, is doing better, showing signs that the lower, basically the equivalent of what in the US is the B40s, M40s, aren't spending as much as the T20s. And it seems to be a global phenomenon, not just in Malaysia.
That's right. T20 being the mass streamer, I think, seems to be holding consumption patterns there. That M40 is increasingly becoming B40, where we're seeing now it's M20 and B60.
Yeah, not so good, right? Because we need a big middle class. But up next, we'll be speaking to Datin Sri Sunita Rajakumar, chairperson of Climate Governance, on the green transition needed by local businesses. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
You have been listening to a podcast from BFM 89.9, the business station. For more stories of the same kind, download the BFM app.